Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Jim Poplava, and of course, you can listen to his programs at financialsense.com, that's financialsense.com. Jim, what's going to happen to the price of gold and silver? What are your takes on that? I know that you can't be clairvoyant, but do you think that these are good investments or poor investments at this time?
Oh, I think they're probably going to be one of the best investments over the next decade. Stan, took the month off of August, sort of a sabbatical, and I spent the whole month researching the Weimar Republic and previous great inflations, and there was an interesting result that I found that I didn't expect to find when I was looking at it, and I'm going to be releasing this in an upcoming article. But if you take a look, as I mentioned earlier, that stocks can do well in periods of inflation, but their purchasing power may not buy the same goods and services. But if you take a look at Germany, where the stock market index went up to heights never seen before during that inflationary period of time. However, the purchasing power, if you had adjusted the stock market for, let's say, purchasing power, the rise in inflation in the country, it didn't go up all that much. However, had you been in the gold-backed dollar during that period of time, you not only maintain your purchasing power, but you actually prospered during that period of time, because gold and silver is what we have known for thousands and thousands of years is the only real money. It's a medium of exchange. It's a special type of commodity that maintains its purchasing power. And when you get into these time periods, those are the best inflation hedges around. And the nice thing about it, it's got 5,000 years of history. If you go back and study any kind of inflationary cycle, whether it was the Roman Empire, the Dark Ages, the 12th century, the 16th, 17th, the 20th century, you will find gold and silver was one of the few things that protected people. And by the way, it's one of the reasons why some very, very wealthy billionaires, from Warren Buffett to Bill Gates to George Soros to the Tisch family and others, are moving into this area. And they always do that before everybody else does. The smart money moves in first.
And, of course, we know that Warren Buffett, 4 or 5 years ago, he bought all that silver, wasn't it? 1997, somewhere in there?
Yeah, he controls 20% of the above-ground stockpiles of silver in the world right now.
And, of course, we keep hearing that they're running out of silver. I mean, there's a real shortage of silver. There really isn't that much still left, and yet they're selling massive amounts. It's short on the silver exchange and the commodities market. How can they get away with that? I mean, they're selling silver that they don't have and doesn't exist.
They're trying to unlike gold, which, there's still some large holdings in central bank vaults. In the case of silver, most of the above stock piles have been depleted. I mean, the U.S. at one time had 2,000 tons or 2 billion ounces of silver. That's been depleted. So the mint has to go out in the marketplace and buy it now. So the only way to keep the price down is this little paper short game. And to tell you what would happen is if the guys that are on the opposite side of the short position, meaning they've gone long in a commodity contract, if they were to demand delivery, the game would be over. But that's not the way the game's played. Everything is settled in paper, and they play a paper game, and that's what keeps the price artificially low, although I have to say that, you know, for almost a decade, gold or silver traded from $4 to $5 an ounce. It's now over $6 an ounce. So it's what we've seen, Stan, is it's taking more and more short positions to keep the price of silver down.
There's the old saying, who sells what isn't his'n has to give it back or go to prison. And I would think those people who are, you know, going naked shorts, and by naked, I mean, you know, there's no silver that they can buy to cover their shorts. And if anybody moved into that market and started asking for delivery, why, you'd see an awful lot of people, you know, running for cover.
Well, I think the first place they're going to have to look was with the exchange itself, why it allowed and is allowing something like this to take place. Many, such as Ted Butler, have questioned the exchange on this, and they're sort of in denial, and they say there's nothing wrong or untoward being done in the markets. But, you know, when you allow somebody to corner the market in a short position, is no different if you're allowing somebody to corner the market in a long position. It's, you know, you're just on a different side of a trade, but you're skewing the markets because of that size of a position, and I'm quite frankly surprised that exchange officials have allowed this to go on.
Well, I think that the last thing they want is any sort of a crisis, especially before the upcoming election. I think that they want to keep things nice and smooth and no wrinkles at all. I don't know what's going to happen, though, the next year or the year after that.
Well, certainly, I mean, if you take a look, our trade deficits are getting bigger. It's now foreign investors have been shying away from the dollar since the beginning of the year. So the main foreign entities that are buying our dollar right now are mainly the Bank of Japan and the Bank of China. They're financing almost 87% of our dollar shortfall that comes to play with the trade deficit. And, you know, can they do this indefinitely? No. I mean, certainly economists will tell you that whenever a nation's trade deficit gets to be over 5% of GDP, you've got a currency crisis or an economic crisis heading your way. Well, we're at almost 6%.
And rising. And, of course, this is the real problem that we have. Now, this massive, we're going to have, what, close to $500 billion of a trade deficit this coming year?
Right now, we're almost scheduled to hit close to $600 billion. We're in the mid-500s right now, so we're going to have to see. You know, last month they reported July's trade deficit. It was less than expected, but it was over $50 billion, the second highest on record. So we've had two back-to-back months of $50 billion-plus trade deficits.
Well, now, what's happening as far as the average individual? Is he still spending money like it's going out of style? Is he still borrowing money, going into further debt on his credit cards, you know, borrowing on his house? Or are people beginning to see that, you know, this is going to come to an end, and they better start covering themselves? Is a consumer buying slacking off, or is it just as wild as ever?
It has slowed down somewhat, although it's starting to pick up in September, and I think that relates to interest rates dipping and another refinance wave that has worked its way through the market. The Federal Reserve reported its credit report last week, that is, for the previous month, and consumer debt went up at an annual rate of 6.5%, so it's going up again. And of that increase, the bulk of it came in through credit cards. So consumers are borrowing to maintain living standards. You know, during the 70s and 80s, the wife went to work to maintain the standard of living. In the 90s, people's credit cards went to work to maintain a standard of living.
But you can't keep doing it indefinitely. Eventually, you get the point where you get, you know, so overborrowed in credit and paying so much interest on your credit cards. And then, of course, as interest rates go up, aren't a lot of these the variable rate interest rates going to go up on houses? Aren't people going to be in real trouble?
Well, variable rates will go up, so will home equity loans. In other words, if the Fed raises interest rates a quarter of a point next week, which I think they will, then what will happen is the following month, everybody that has a home equity line of credit, which is tied to short-term rates, they adjust monthly. So everybody's adjustable or home equity line payments will go up. So, you know, that's going to be felt immediately.
All right, Frank, what are your thoughts on platinum? Is platinum a good investment for people?
Platinum is a strategic metal, and I would put it in the almost precious metal category. It's one of the white metals, and I think that is also a good metal to be investing in, although I'm primarily oriented towards gold and silver because they're treated more as money.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for our guest this afternoon, Jim Poplava, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. The thing that amazes me is that they've been able to keep the price of gold and silver down as long as they have, and especially with our massive spending and our massive debts, and even listening to what Alan Greenspan said last week, and I'm sure you've probably analyzed that speech, I think that he was almost hollering, don't you know we're in real problems? You're going to have to cut spending. We've got to have triggers so that if we're spending too much, we've got to start cutting taxes or cutting expenditures. And some congressman replied, why, Trigger, that's the name of a horse. And he laughed without realizing, of course, that somebody's got to act fiscally responsible. My impression is Alan Greenspan's trying to warn the people with all the verbiage that we're in real trouble.
Well, I call him Mr. Bubbles because he's created all these bubbles. And he knows when you inflate the currency, inflate the money supply and credit, as the Fed has done, these chickens come home to roost. And I think what he sees is some of these chickens are going to now start coming home to roost. So that's why he's sort of signaling that. But also I think the Fed is trying to distance itself from the problems that are coming and sort of like, well, hey, it's not us, it's somebody else.
Well, I think that there's no way to distance from it. I mean, there's no incidence in all history where you've gone into a fiat money system where, of course, you've made money readily available without anything behind it and massively expanded the currency, where eventually this whole system is not come tumbling down. This, I mean, I'm sure you're well acquainted with that wonderful book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. This is written about what happened in 1789. They tried the same thing there, and it didn't work. They tried it under John Law in the early 1700s in France. They tried it with the continental dollar. They tried it during the Civil War. They tried it in the Weimar Republic. You've got lots of other instances where they've tried it, and it just doesn't work. We're going to end up just like Argentina, only maybe not as good as they are.
Well, certainly history, there's a long, long track record, thousands of years of what has happened to fiat currencies, or what happens when emperors, kings, or prime ministers debase the currency. It's the same results. You end up going through an inflationary cycle that destroys wealth, destroys the moral fabric of the country, destroys the economic system, and wipes out, you know, much of the middle class. It's been that way. They would like to tell you today that we've got these sophisticated computer models and our technicians and the people running the government and the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department are much smarter today because we have this technology and we're much brighter. It won't happen. We can manage it much better. But, you know, they all think that.
Well, let's go to John, who's calling from Florida. Hi, John. Did you have a question or comment?
I do. Could your guest give me a time frame as to when he thinks this runaway inflation will actually occur, where the whole economic system will basically be in an upheaval?
All right, that's a pretty tough question. But do you want to hazard any sort of a time frame for that at all?
I would say when you really start to see it and notice it visibly, we're probably anywhere from, I would say, 12 to 2 years away from that. And one of the keys to having this happen is foreigners bailing out of the dollar. In other words, as long as foreigners like the Bank of Japan and China continue to accept our dollars, we can export our inflation to other countries. But when they decide they no longer want those dollars, and this is the same thing that happened to Germany in 1922, foreigners woke up and finally realized that the government would not back up the Reichsmark. And once that realization took place, you know, it was like a mass panic, like turning on the light in the kitchen with cockroaches underneath your sink, everybody trying to flee at once. And that's when the full impact of all of this inflation comes home to roost. But I would suspect that between the next 12 to 24 months, we're going to reach a point where foreigners are going to say, look, America's deficit is unmanageable. The trade deficit is unmanageable. This is much too much risk for us, and we're going to start getting out of the dollars. I would suspect, and there are others, such as Dr. Mark Faber, who believes that within the next 12 to 18 months, we could possibly see capital controls instituted in the United States. We won't call them.
You're talking about exchange controls. You won't be able to take your money out of the country.
That's correct.
Okay, one other question, then, is that I have an insurance company that is paying me a disability, and I've been offered a settlement, and that settlement is... if I should live to age 65, and that would be 12 years from now, then I would only be getting 43% of the difference between them. This window of opportunity to cash in, so to speak, with this insurance company is only for 30 days. And so I need to know whether I should cash in or let it ride.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were to cash it in, could you invest it at a rate that would give you enough income in which you can live off of?
I doubt that because the interest rates right now are so low.
Well, that's...
Unless I was to invest it all in gold and silver, then how do you get an interest out of that?
What you would have to do if you were going to invest it in gold and silver, you would have to look at, for example, let's say the bonds of a mining company, a convertible bond. You might want to look at oil, where you can get some dividends. But I'll tell you, if we go to an inflationary type or a hyperinflationary environment, as I suspect we're going to head into, then the value of that insurance and annuity that you're getting right now could be worthless. The people that were hit the hardest in Argentina, in Germany, and, of course, here even in the U.S. were people that were on fixed income.
That answers my question. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, John. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there across America. You know, we may not like to think that we are dependent upon money, but we are. Without a medium of exchange, you can't have a civilized society. And the people in CDs and annuities and banknotes and bonds, these are, and especially in pension funds, they're all, you know, very, very liable for this runaway inflation, aren't you, that you're talking about, aren't they?
Yeah, this reminds me, Stan, when I first got into the business, which was in the late 70s, and I can remember a very wealthy individual. I was apprenticing at that time with probably one of the nation's top financial planners, and I can remember this gentleman walking in, and he had a $750,000 bond portfolio that he had purchased when he retired. And it was worth roughly about 60% of what he paid for it. He had lost that as interest rates went up.
And so what did you do with him? Was there anything you could do at that time, or was it too late?
Well, I mean, the bonds that were coming due in the, you know, a five-year period, we just kept. But we put him in some inflationary-type assets that helped him. But, you know, by the same token, 3 years later, inflation was starting to end. But, you know, here this guy had lived on this income for almost an 8 to 10 year period, and the lifestyle he was enjoying at the end of the 70s was a totally different lifestyle that he had enjoyed at the beginning of the 70s when he first retired.
We're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
You betcha. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I think that it's important that the American people understand the history of the wars of the last century. And so we put together a talk, and initially it was the little-known history of wars, and then we changed that talk and elaborated it, and it became Iraq, the Untold Story. And there's a video, and there is a syllabus that goes off with that video. And, of course, you can get them separately, but the video tells you the story. The syllabus gives you all the documentation, and it gives you many original documents that you'll never see elsewhere. But it also, of course, gives you the references to the books where you can actually find, you know, where Henry Kissinger called our fighting men stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy purposes. And, of course, Lord Milner talked about how, you know, the Boer War, which he instigated, he could have stopped it at any time, but, well, he just went ahead and precipitated it before it was too late. And the background of the Spanish-American War, which was fraudulent, the Spanish did not sink the battleship Maine. Oh, the reason we went into the First World War had nothing to do with the reason we sent those boys overseas to fight and die. They thought they were fighting the wicked Huns who were cutting off the hands of little Belgian boys and the breasts of Belgian women. It was all a lie. And then, of course, the Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. We knew the attack was coming on Pearl Harbor. It was planned that way. And it was interesting, on that morning of the attack on Pearl Harbor, everybody was just incommunicado. They couldn't reach General George Cotton Marshall. He was out riding his horse someplace. It's amazing stories. And then, of course, we get into Iraq. We did never went to Iraq because Saddam Hussein was an evil man. We kept him in power. And, of course, we give you the documents of the Project for the New American Century to explain it. Call 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and get Iraq, the Untold Story, the video, and the syllabus. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, what we have to do when we're talking with people is get them to realize that they have a stake in what's going to happen. There are a lot of people out there who say, well, why should I be concerned about the war? Why should I be concerned about finances? I've got plenty of money. I don't have to worry. And you've got to convince them that they do have something to worry about. One of the things you can convince them they have to worry about is, of course, the fluoride that they're in contact with, not simply the fluoride in the toothpaste, but the fluoride in most of the vegetables and the lettuce and the other things that they get. Of course, if they have fluoride in their drinking water, it's even worse. But we know its toxic effects on the brain, on the endocrine system, on the reproduction system, on the bones, on the mind itself. And what's it doing to the minds of our children? The mercury poisoning. We have a great four-tape set on mercury poisoning, a great four-tape set on fluoride. We have a great four-tape set on NutraSweet, on aspartame, and excitotoxins. And we even have a book by the titled Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. We have a great new book on seeds of deception going into genetically altered foods. And I will tell you, this book even scares me. We have another book called Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare. You need to get this information to understand that they are poisoning the people of the world. And why would they do that? Because they believe there are too many people in the world and they want to kill them off. And if you doubt that, you give us a call, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of Jacques Cousteau's statement from the UNESCO Courier. We actually have photocopies of the original pages, the UNESCO Courier, in November of 1991, talking about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. And, of course, Jacques Cousteau is not the only person. Bertrand Russell wanted to kill off large parts of the world's population, so do the people in Planned Parenthood. It's part of a plan of eugenics. Part of a plan of population reduction. You need to get our four-tape set on population control, understand why they've really outlawed DDT. It wasn't because it was harming the fish or the eggshells. It was because it was saving so many human lives, and there are people who hate humanity. And, of course, we have a video. We have a four-tape set on population control. We have a population control agenda monograph. And there's so much material you'll get from Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and order the four-tape set on fluoride or on mercury or on aspartame or on genocide or why do we still have cancer, or get the book on entitled Seeds of Deception or Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare. And one reason we do what we do is because we want you to have the information, and then we want you to get that information out. And, of course, there's always something that's going to get people concerned. Maybe people will be concerned with the thought of their son or, or the grandson or granddaughter being drafted and sent off to fight in a senseless war when we attack Iran and Syria and Saudi Arabia and Lebanon and all the other things, nations that are planned to draw us into World War III, because World War III is coming. It's just a matter of not if, but how soon it's going to come about. And with that will come catastrophic changes here financially at home, and the people who think that they're so safe with their stocks and bonds and annuities and CDs, and, well, they're in for a rude awakening, ladies and gentlemen. So our job is to try to make people understand there's a problem and recruit them into this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, our August newsletter goes into the financial crisis and the history of fiat money systems throughout the centuries. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we hope you'll want to subscribe, but you'll get a free copy and you read it. And of course, if you can't afford it, go up on the web and you can pull them down off the web page, and we give you our permission to copy them. We want you to get the information out. If you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, we'll appreciate it. Don't forget the meeting we're going to have in November here, all day long meeting on Saturday, November 6th at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. Bring in outside speakers, going to serve lunch. Great program. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.